As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshay has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshay. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshay2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We're going to take a little short break here in the beginning and give everybody an opportunity to call in so that we can start our conversation for this evening and make sure everybody has an opportunity to have their voices heard today.
You know I love music, and every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun, but it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...
No matter.
Hi, this is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know I'm happy and pleased to be here with you and to be given this opportunity to talk about the things that impact our lives now and in the future. And today is no different. You know, we are dealing with some very chaotic times, and we're wondering why in the world can't we have a more positive impact on our young people. We spend a lot of time talking about young people, but every time we turn around, they seem to be doing more and more despicable things that require us to figure out how do we reach these young people and keep them from being involved in the kind of things that would destroy their lives. Recently, we had a situation that is going to be played out in the next few months, if not over the year, where five teenagers ranging from 15 to 17 went over an overpass and dropped boulders or rocks down on the cars below. And they hit several different cars, ended up hitting one where the car went through the windshield, struck a passenger in the head and in his chest, and knocked him unconscious. He eventually died from his injuries, leaving a young lady he was dating and a five-year-old child without a boyfriend or father. They are now going to be charged with second-degree murder. And, you know, my question is that, you know, we spend a lot of time wondering, you know, if young people can be rehabilitated. But this van is not going to be coming back. And what they thought was a joke is the furthest thing from that. And how do we get people to understand the lives they put in jeopardy when they think they're playing games, and have them understand that they're going to not only ruin their lives, but the lives of people who they don't even know, and the destruction that will take place when this young boy, 5 years old, won't get the love of his father. It's hard to have any sympathy for these young men, even though all of them weren't involved in throwing the rock, that particular rock, but any rock that they threw down could have done the same thing, so therefore all of them were participating. And so we just want to talk today about how it is, again, we have these situations going on in our community and people not understanding the devastation that their behaviors or actions have in our communities, in our cities, world. We just don't, somehow or another, these young people don't understand the devastation and the sorrow caused by their simple game that they're playing. And this is a vicious game. And how do they even come to the point where they think it would be okay to drop large rocks down onto speeding cars and put into danger the lives of those who were driving on the roadway? After they did this, they went to the McDonald's, so they hadn't done anything. You know, and it is so callous, and it's so shameful that we have the situation where young people are so removed from life and death situations that they will put people's lives in this kind of danger. So, again, we just want to talk about what it is that we need to do and how sorrowful it is that we are growing up kids who are willing to do these kinds of things. Cheryl, how are you doing this evening? What are your thoughts about five kids being willing to spend their evening on an overpass throwing rocks down onto vehicles?
Good evening, and how's everyone doing this evening? I just thought this was horrible. you know, as much as we try to tell the young people today that certain things, it's not funny. You know, and there are repercussions to these actions that they're doing. And it's, you know, over and over again that we're talking to them and saying, you know, it's not funny. You know, whatever kind of joke you're trying to do, somebody is bound to get hurt. And then you find yourself in the company of others that's doing it, well, then you're going down just as well. You know, no matter how much you say, well, I was not the one that threw that rock, it doesn't matter because you was a willing participant in it all. And you got to know when to walk away. You know, peers, there's a lot of pressure when it comes to, you know, peers, but you got to understand that if you're not strong enough, then you're going to get in trouble just with them. So now they're all in trouble. They all go face consequences. I mean, they may not see the outside for the rest of their life. And I think that they need punishment for it because they had no business doing what they did. And it's happening too much, too much. And they need to be stopped. And, I mean, like you said, what somebody's going to tell this five-year-old boy as he grows older, you know, what happened to his father? Because some teenagers was playing, it's not acceptable at all.
And now all of a sudden his parents, the people who are close to these people, want people to be sympathetic when they did something that was so arbitrary against these families. Here you are, have these people who now have to bury this young man, and you had a host of people, five or six other cars, that the same thing could have happened to, and they could care less. They were just bent on experiencing some kind of thrill out of throwing these boulders or these rocks over on top of the traffic and getting the thrill out of who could hit the most cars or who could hit the bumper of a car. And that was just putting everybody's lives in danger. Had that person hit a driver and instantly killed the driver, then you have a car going 75 miles an hour that could have killed a whole lot of people. And so it was lucky enough it was the passenger and not the driver.
I mean,
what are your thoughts about when you heard this story? It just seemed like these kids were oblivious to what it was they were doing.
Good afternoon, everybody. I saw it on television on the news late last night, and I think it's very sickening because our young people have no values. They don't value anyone else's life, and I think with the new thing about FaceTiming and all this YouTube, these kids, they want attention, and they feel as though that's their way of being their 15 minutes or 10 minutes of fame, but they don't realize what the consequences are. So in this situation, I have no mercy for that. And for the ones who didn't do it, guilt by association, you know, you encourage them to do it. You're laughing with them, so you're a part of it. So our young people need to be taught a lesson, and the only way that they can be taught a lesson is that you got to pay for your consequences. You got to realize, and that's how come we have to keep talking to our young people and tell them they need to think before they act, because when you need to take at least a couple minutes to say, what would be my final result? Is this a positive or is this a negative? Where will I end up? They need to do some self-centered thinking before they react. We need to tell our young people this all the time. You got to think before you act. When you're with your peers, whatever they do, you better think about the consequences that you're a part of. guilt by association, because nowadays that people don't even, if you're there, you're part of the group. It's just outrageous. Also, sorority institution too, the universities, it's in military, it's all over. We got to stop doing this and start thinking about other people's lives. This young lady lost a dad, then lost a husband, a father. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense, and it's heartbreaking. So they need to spend a lot of time to really rethink about what they've done. And my thing is that in by your work, do you feel as though you should be free, walking around, making other choices when you and kill somebody? So that's how I feel about that. Thank you.
Here you have a man that was coming home from work, minding his own business, looking forward to come home to his girlfriend, his wife, his lover, to his child. I'm not sure what the relationship was between him and this woman, but clearly it was a serious relationship. And now she has to tell her child that the father will never be coming home again. And, you know, these guys had to know that what they were doing was dangerous and that could be life-threatening. And, again, they were so oblivious to what they were doing that they went to McDonald's afterwards. And so it just tugs at your heart. That this man's life has been taken, plus the fact, somebody has to pay. There has to be some justice for this family, and the fact that they're going to lose their childhood and possibly their adulthood for something as stupid as this is just the price they'll have to pay for their participation. One of the young men did turn himself in, and I'm sure he's going to take the stand to talk against the others, but still you participated and was there, and a man lost his life as well as the others. I mean, shouldn't the other four or five cars they hit, shouldn't they have got, they getting attempted murder or some kind of charge for that? So they, just because one boulder hit a car and went through the windshield and killed somebody, what about all the damage done to the other cars or the life-threatening situation you put those other people in? So you're right. Not only should they be responsible for being there with the other guys, but some of the other guys threw boulders too, even though they weren't the ones that killed people. So, Cheryl, just because yours didn't happen to kill anybody, you still put the life of the people you did hit in jeopardy.
You're right. I think that all of them should have punishment. I don't think that one and everybody else get off because you just don't do that. You don't go around damaging people's property. And, I mean, just like you say, anything could happen. Anybody could get hurt, and it did. And somebody did get hurt. I mean, this is serious. This is nothing lightly. You know, we can't boo-hoo feel sorry for them. I mean, that could have been our relative. That could have been our husband, our child. So, No, I don't think that they should get off. I don't think that one should pay the price and everybody else get off. I just don't.
Yeah, it is so difficult and hard to believe that young people could be so heartless, and that's one of the reasons why I'm constantly saying we need to teach some type of humanity in our schools that give these kids some understanding about how precious life is. And they seem to be so uncaring when it comes to people's existence, and they only feel pain when they have to pay a price. Now all of a sudden you're all sad because you locked up in jail, because that's not where you thought you were going to be, and now you want some sympathy and empathy, but you had no kind of sympathy or empathy for the people, cars you was hitting, and the accidents you could have created. But now it's woe is me that I'm only
14, 15, I'm under the age of 18, and now we want to start talking about how your brain is not fully developed and you cannot understand, you know, the your actions related to what took place and didn't realize. And so it's, you can realize in everything else, you're doing, you know, you're doing all these things that adults are doing, but now all of a sudden you want to cry a child. And that's what we were talking about a couple of days ago when we were talking about how these children will get all up in the face of adults, and then all of a sudden they want to be treated like children. And so here you have now these four or five teenagers who's cost the life of somebody, and then their parents and their relatives want someone to be sympathetic to their cause, Joyce. And then you want to bring in the psychologists and say, well, their brains are not fully developed. You know, and we have to stop making excuses for teenagers who want to act like adults and who are doing adult-like things, and they're actually hurting people and killing people, and not wanting, their parents and relatives don't want them to take full responsibility for their actions. Now they don't want to go to the to prison and be with adults. They feel like it's unfair, but yet you've done something that has been totally devastating to other people's families that they won't be able to overcome.
Well, that was a grown-up act, that punishment that needs to be delivered, because that would be something that the average child would, without an unfully brain, would be doing something like that. So that for them to be doing such a mischievous act, that lets me know that they are mature enough to realize right from wrong. So anytime you realize that you know right from wrong, regardless, you know, maturity, and this young man, he came and he turned himself in, but he also told off on the other ones, and that's why they made the other arrest. They all should be, because when you look at it, you don't know what other damage that was done by the other ones that was thrown. And it just so happened that a black young lady was one of the passenger. They hit her, but what happened to her car, she got a flat tire, so she was lucky. It could have been more than one death. So therefore, I say that they all should be held accountable, because they all was in the act of doing the same crime, and that is a crime for you to try to take another person's life, regardless whether you think it's fun or whether or not you know, for whatever you're doing it for, a thrill. So therefore, that punishment got to meet that crime. And by that, that means that you got to have some form of incarceration in order for you to rethink what you've done, because there's no way that you should be walking the streets after doing an act as to what you did as far as taking another person's life, regardless of what the age is. You do the crime, you do the time.
And that's exactly, and that's what I'm saying. That girl or those other six cars that they hit, I'm afraid, Cheryl, I'm thinking there should be a crime for that too. You shouldn't be able to hit my car and put my life in danger, and the only one you're going to be charged with, just because it happens to be the biggest charge, is second-degree murder. You ought to be charged with some kind of crime related to those other five or six cars that you hit as well. Those people's lives were put in danger. So, that should be attempted murder or some type of assault with a deadly weapon thing, because you didn't only hit one car, you hit six other cars. So why should you get away on those other charges?
Absolutely. Because they were looking for trouble. I mean, and trouble is what they found. You know, I don't even know how they could have thought that doing this, they would have been able to get away with it. But evidently they did. They thought they would have. And they didn't think that they were going to hurt anybody, but they had to know that they were going to damage property. And they thought that was funny, but that's not funny. You can't damage somebody's property and get away with it. So, like I said, I mean, I feel like they all of them should be prosecuted. Now, for what the law stands for each one of them, I'm not sure. But, you know, out here, they got to stop doing this. They got to stop doing things, you know, as jokes, because the consequences of their actions is really turning out bad. I mean, and even the results of them. So, I mean, you know, it's become too much of a problem. And when people start getting home, that's when, you know, we got to draw the line. And they have to pay the price.
And the issue becomes, you don't even know if this man is the breadwinner of his family. His family was counting on his income for the remainder of his life to care for this child. And so now this child's financial stability is put at risk because his father, who went out every day to work to take care of him, is no longer available. And so you have extended the detriment or the hardship not only from this man who has to be buried, but also to his children. So the extent of the damage that you caused is unlimited. And so, Joyce, we're talking about the welfare of this child who may have to be taken care of by the state, who might find himself living on poverty because he doesn't have, now he's lost his father who was willing to go out every day and work for his welfare. And so they have just taken away someone who had purpose for this crazy game that they were playing.
Well, not saying that they should be made an example of, but I think that they shouldn't spare whatever punishment that they should be. I think they should be very harshly punished for taking a life like that. And that means, like I say, it'd be some hard time in incarceration, regardless of what the age is. They have some type of rehabilitation for young people that are not adults, and from where they place them, it's not pretty. So they need to place them in situations and in a facility where it's not pretty, and nobody get an easy way out. Like I say, these young people need to start thinking about beyond today, beyond tomorrow. They need to really think about, you know, the old saying, you can't see the forest for the trees. They really do need to wake
right.
up. We need to start doing a lot of talking and let them know, how is this going to affect me down the line? You see, like they say, easy come, easy go. Fast money, you know what I mean? Fast money. And then if you always die the life you live. If you live a fast life, you're going to die one. You know what I mean? So we need to talk to our young people and say, what impact do you want to place on society? You know, you want to be good and the best of what it is that you are. We got to let them know that it ain't about this a 2-minute thrill, because if you're gonna do some harm to someone else, you know, you got to really think about that consequence, because that's gonna cost you your life, because right now their life will never ever be the same. Won't be the same for the ones who did it. Won't be the same for the parents who raised them. It's just crazy. You have impacted a whole bunch of people for your silliness and your foolishness and your stupidness. So like I say, you do the crime, you got to do the time. No mercy.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation.
Held on tight, I never should've
Thought, James T. Deshaies. The significance of our lives is found in the level of commitment we have to greatness. Our Creator has planted the only seeds we need to rise above the level of mediocrity. The world needs all of us to rise above the norm. The enemy of humanity is in the wasted greatness that resides in those that refuse to care and fertilize their personal seeds of greatness. No solutions in life's problems can be obtained without individuals being willing to bring their seeds of greatness to reality. There are too many dreams being left in the graves of the disenchanted. The joy and peace of the world should not be put at risk by our reluctance to work toward our legacies. Our families and communities need the value of all the treasures that exist within us. No blessing should remain unnurtured. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This show is here for your voice to be heard loud and clear. It is important that we do what is needed to make sure that people know what our opinions are, and this is the platform to make that possible. Please call in at 657-383-0309. Also, please visit my website at jamestdeshaies2.com. That's James D. Deshaies, the number 2, .com.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. Regina, we're talking about the incident that took place where five teenagers from the age of 15 to 17 were throwing rocks over an overpass, the man's car, and he was hit in the head and then the chest, He was a passenger, and he died. And these five young men went to the Burger McDonald's as though they didn't do anything. You know, we really have to figure out what it is we're going to do with young people who seem unable or unwilling to control their destructive behavior. And when they get caught, they have to be dealt with in a way that sends a message to other young people that this type of behavior will not be tolerated. And you and I both spent a lot of years, you still working in the classroom, where we don't want to take away children's futures, but sometimes they take away their futures. You know, so what are your thoughts about how these young people ought to be dealt with?
Hi, good evening. Hey, everybody. You know, I do say blessed. I am blessed that I'm not directly in the classroom all 8 hours, but I'm in and out of all of the classroom, coaching the teachers. And with that, I'm through the halls a lot, and I see so much. I see children who are just cry and scream and throw temper tantrums, and it's always something that is there to pacify them. And I just looked at this today and saw the misbehavior, the odd behavior, and it's like, what do you do? And I say that to say that these children grow up to become the children who are throwing bricks off of the overpasses. They become the children who are refusing to hand over cellular devices. They become the children who grow up to be parents who say, you know, you put your hand on my child, touch my child, that's what you do. Yeah, I did it. Where do we put a halt to this cycle? I see it from preschool to the parents that I work with in the afternoons at the door, the parents who get in my face, the male parents. I don't know. We're wondering what the answers are, too.
And these violent
I have,
become so destructive.
Yeah.
Just like you talk about, these are the domestic violence people as well, because if you don't care anything about people you're throwing your boulders on top of their cars, care about somebody making you mad and slapping them in the face and beating them up. And so that's one of the reasons why I think about us trying to have some kind of class to intervene in these people's lives, to let them show them how destructive their behavior is related to the small things, so they don't get to these big things. So, Regina, we're you see it already. You already, and the first thing a parent gonna say to you is, you ain't no fortune teller. But we've seen the behavior so much that we can relate it to the future.
Look, I try to tell these folks, I'm not telling them what I've heard, telling them what I know. And I know what happens. I know what happens when you overprotect. I know what happens when you underprotect and you don't have a safety net and they fall through the cracks. When you overprotect and they children think that they are above everything else, and they're so privileged. What's that new word? That the world owes. It begins with an E. What is that word? They feel as if the world owes them something, and I've seen it. But I can't warn these parents because, as you say, they'll say, you're not a fortune teller, honey. You don't know how well I know what your future is holding.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how well I know. don't let this being a teacher fool you. Because I have a child myself, and I know what happens.
And Cheryl, they don't
do.
Understand. Those of us who deal with children all the time, it's not that we think we can tell the future. It's because we've seen the same behavior and how it has ended up. You know, you use all the things from childhood all the way up to adulthood, and you've seen some of your classmates who've ended up in jail, and you're not surprised because you knew how they were as children. And so when they were, you know, hooked, they call it have that hook the crook behavior, you know, as they become adults, they're going to get worse.
I've never heard that term before, Jay.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's so sad. It's sad, you know, and some of them act out because they're looking for attention. Some act out just to be silly, or, you know, how some of them say, I'm bored, I don't have anything to do, come on, let's just do this and see what happens. So many different reasons why these kids act out the way they do. And I mean, you know, and each one of them parents, they probably have told them about the silliness and about getting in trouble, you know, and especially those. And I know the parents are devastated, you know, because when you go to their home and you see their interaction and you see what all this child has, you know, this was unnecessary. And I know that the parents are heartbroken. But just like you said, on the other end, this man was on his way home. You know, he wasn't bothering nobody at all. And, I mean, he's no longer here. And this could have been their child. Now, put you know, reverse the roles, and how would they feel? And that's the same thing that should happen with them. You know? It's just useless. It's unnecessary. It's sickening.
And Joyce, when we sit here and we watch these people, and they, you know, I'm just wondering, should their families be financially responsible for this other little boy who no longer has a father? Should this mother be able to go in and sue for damages that she won't be able to get any, you know, she needs her child support? Are you there, Joy?
Oh, well, that's to me. I'm so sorry. That was my dog's bark.
Yeah.
I thought that was my husband coming, but actually he's not even in the country. But, then what's going to happen is they're going to be a ward of the state. It's ridiculous. Well, our young people got to realize is that freedom is a privilege. They don't understand that. It's a privilege to be free. Freedom is a privilege. You go to all these other countries. That's why everybody's trying to come to the United States. They really don't know how privileged they are to have the type of freedom that they do. And a lot of them, they just don't think. And they risk that. Trying to be bold, cocky. You know, you take the coolest person in school, so cool, got it going on, look at them 10 years later and see where they are. You see. You know, I just have to share this story with you about my son. Everybody was telling him when he was in high school, as soon as high school, he went to college and the whole bit. So what we did was he stayed here and, you know, go to campus instead of getting their apartments and the whole bit. And most of the kids, they was trying to make fun. And I told Justin, I told me, you know, I will refuse to help you get where you're trying to go when you out there want to give somebody else $1,500 or $2,000 a month for rent when you have your home here. You can come and go as you please. Those same people who are making fun of you now, you look at them 10 years later, and then what it didn't even take 10 years because a lot of them wind up with babies, divorced, never married in the whole bit. You know, it's sometimes it doesn't pay to be cool. So you got to always constantly talk to our kids, let them know that being cool today is not going to get you where you need to be 5-20 years from now. We got to go beyond that. We got to look beyond the forest there. It's a beauty. It's a rainbow over on that other side. But you got to be able to go through life the proper way in order to obtain it. Being a clown, and that's what most of the, you know, to me that was a clownish action. Everybody wants thrills. You know, quick thrills is not where it is. Quick thrills will wind your butt behind bars, and that's where these kids are going. And it's sad, really
and
sad.
Certainly, yeah, and certainly everybody, all young people ought to be made aware of this situation because they're always out there doing stuff, you know, from getting high to drinking and doing all kind of things that jeopardize their lives as well as others. And then when it comes time to pay the piper, they don't want to pay. They want sympathy then. Regina, all of a sudden now, woe is me after you don't committed some crime or did something that don't ended somebody's life, and now the spotlight is being put on you, and now you don't want to pay the price. You don't want to pay the crime. You know, one of the lawyers was on television talking about how his client wasn't directly involved and that he shouldn't be held accountable. But yeah, he didn't throw that rock, but he might have been one of the other ones.
Well, I didn't see, I didn't hear anything about what their attorney said, but one thing I would like to comment on is you said that we should show these young people what's going on and make examples of these folk who are committing these crimes. But, James, I would say that these folks see it. These young people see it. When something happens, the word spreads quickly, quickly. When you look on the young people's Facebook pages and it says, what does it say, Gentile? Release my free, look, quote unquote, free my nigga, free my homegirl. They know these folk are in jail and they know why they are in jail, but it just doesn't scare them. They have no sense, and they want to justify. They want to say, well, you know, they got them locked up for nothing. They didn't do it. They didn't do it now for nothing. It's unreal out here in the minds of these young people.
And it's so terrible that we got parents who would look out or take up for this kind of foolishness. I would love my child dearly, Cheryl, and I'm going to try to help them throughout all kinds of situations, but they're going to have to pay the price for doing stuff. When you take somebody's life, you can't get off scot-free. And so often there are people who are getting off free that sends the wrong message, and other people continue to do these kind of foolish things. And we have to show people when you take somebody's life, there's nothing you can't give it back, no matter how hard you work. Or if you were to give them every paycheck you earn, you cannot bring that life back, Cheryl.
No, you can't. And it's no do-over. Once it's done, it's done. I'm still just furious because this was just a senseless act. A senseless act, just acting foolish, caused somebody's life. I mean, we got enough problems going on in this world to deal with than to deal with the foolishness of you wanting to have some fun, but the fun being dangerous. I mean, we got a whole lot of other things going on. And just imagine not being able to graduate, not being able to go to prom, not being able to experience those things in life. You know, I don't know. And I know one thing, we got to continue talking to our young people, continue talking to them. Because I know I talk to my son all the time. I mean, all the time. So we got to continue talking to these young people over and over until they actually get it. Because some of them don't get it the first time, and some of them don't get it the second time. So that's why it has to be an ongoing. I mean, we can say the same thing in different ways, you know, to help them to understand, but we got to continue putting it in them until they really understand.
Yeah, because the lives that they're taking away from us, you know, Joyce, you have had, you know, that I know that Audre has a grandchild, and you're going to be looking forward to having grandchildren, and you got all kinds of nieces and nephews, and so we have to let them know how valuable they are to us, so they don't go out there doing silly little pranks and endangering their lives. We cannot risk the happiness that they and the joy that they bring us by letting them being caught up in these groups. You know, and so often, just like you were saying about your son and being, you know, you have to really be careful not to be to get caught up in the wrong crowd and be associated with people who will do the kinds of things that you wouldn't do. You need to truly evaluate. We have to tell our kids, you have to evaluate who you're around so that you don't get caught up into the kind of foolishness that might cost you your life or cost you your freedom.
Exactly. And my thing is constantly, I do have grandkids, and I'm constantly, every chance that I get, I always try to, every conversation is like a teaching lesson, and but they don't even know it. You know, is what you do,
right,
how you talk to them, the questions that you ask and the conversation that you have. And you're teaching them, and they don't even realize that you're doing it. So every opportunity has to be a teaching, coaching to our kids, but we have to do it in a way, in a sophisticated way that they don't even know. One thing about both of my sons, the older one and the young one, and they both older, you know, sometimes when you don't think kids are listening, they do listen, you know. They just don't want you to repeat the same stuff over and over, but they get it. You know what I mean? And my son would sometimes tell me, "Mom, I got it. I got it." But, you know, you really kind of reiterate it a lot because, you know, I give examples in the whole bit. We have to constantly talk to our young people and let them know just how important they are and what is out there, that everything is not as easy and what you see, you know, everything is not simplified. You know, they got to know what type of consequences, and we got to let them know that, you know, prison is not pretty. You know, being locked up is not pretty. Your freedom is, once you lose that, you've lost a lot. And a lot of that privilege comes with that. You get the right to vote. You get the right to go out of and go another country. You get passport. You have privileges. These are things that I think we take for granted. A lot of times we got to start teaching every opportunity as much as we can to our young people to let them know that, you know, hey, it's okay to be different. You want to be different. Sometimes being different is cool. You know, people looking at you to be the leader. Stop being an Indian and start being a chief. You got to be, you know what I mean? This is what we need to be. That's what we have. We have too many Indians and not enough chiefs. You got to be able to stand on your own, on your worth. You know, you have home training. You know what the commandments are. You know, we got to start telling our kids that.
You're so right. We're going to take another break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation. But we just, you know, I understand that those parents are heartbroken, that their child may spend the rest of his life in jail, but they have to recognize that they position, and we cannot give them any a break, because then somebody else will think they can do the same thing their child did. You know, we have to understand that there has to be a penalty. And sometimes it is so disastrous for that situation, but what else can we do? I mean, you can't keep letting people get away with doing these kind of horrific things and just saying, oh, great, well, they're just kids. And so we have to be prepared to have that tough, you know, give those tough punishments for senseless. Okay, we'll be right back and to continue our conversation.
I want some company. You look like you're just my type. You're the kind whose spirits are running free. Let's take a sip of some cold, cold wine and dance to the music nice and slow. Under any kind of pressure, you see, we'll just let the evening flow. Away from this noisy crowd. Let's go where it's nice and quiet, where there's nobody else around. Let's sit by a cozy lit fire, and we can be each other's company. Now how does that sound to you?
honey, would it be all right with you? And we left here, and we went somewhere out, baby. Somewhere where it's nice and quiet. Nice and quiet. Down by a cozy fire. We could sip a little wine. Work things out.
Well,
we can work things out.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has sent the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness. My own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men, while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth.
Igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Cheryl, one thing for sure is we are never finished teaching our children or teaching or helping people to recognize the obstacles they need to avoid so they don't throw their lives away. I cannot imagine what it is like to have any of my life spent behind bars and to be subjected to other people's schedules with no other options. Our young people just don't know and understand the danger they put themselves in when they think they're just out there having fun.
You are so right. You know, we can never, and as parents, we never stop teaching our children from one stage to the next stage to the next. Even as adults, we're still pouring into them whatever it is that we know. I'm with you, James. I couldn't imagine, you know, doing something knowingly that would get me behind bars, where I'm not able to have my freedom. I just would never want to ever experience that. And like I said, we just got to, you know, just as we as adults, we learn something Oh, I would like to say that we all learn something every day. And it's no difference from us teaching our younger people and pouring into their lives and helping to understand that, you know, with actions, there's always consequences, whether they're good rewards or whether they're bad. You know, so we have to think about everything that we do, meaning, you know, as far as with young kids and as we get to be adults. And just like somebody mentioned, you know, those that ran hard years and years later, 10 years down the line, they're not even here with us anymore. So we got to be brought attention, you know, to the attention to our young people, because I know when we first got on the radio, I was on my way home and I let my son listen, you know, in case you don't know, listen to what has happened. And trust me, after this, you know, is over with, I mean, I didn't made it home by now, but after this is all over with, we're going to have a discussion about it. So that's what I love so much about this platform.
Yeah, I am so thankful that I was raised in the type of home that I was raised in, because, you know, my mother never drank, never got high, never did anything crazy. My daddy enjoyed having company over and giving drinks to people and stuff like that. But I never saw my father drunk. And I am so thankful and blessed that I'm not a drinker. I'm not somebody who I can enjoy an occasional drink. But I'm always aware of where I am and why I'm doing things. And so when I go out and maybe have a drink with my dinner, I always make sure it was once. Because the last thing I wanted to do was get in an accident and hurt somebody, and it be because I'm all liquored up and don't know where I am and don't know what I'm doing. And I even feel that way about when I'm tired. You know, even when you're driving and you're tired and you're sleepy, you just don't want to be the cause of another person's death. You don't know how to pull over to the side and go to sleep and let that danger pass. And so many, I just could not imagine what it would feel like to know that your foolishness caused the death of another person. That just has to be something horrific to live with. And so that's, you know, we're always trying to train our kids, train the people that we love, not to put their lives in jeopardy and not to jeopardize the life of somebody else. And so it is just hard, you know, to be in a situation where you don't cause the death of somebody, Joyce, or had your children cause the death of somebody. And that pain goes all the way back to the parents and to all the relatives and everybody. It's just not associated with that child, something that everybody got to live with when they got to watch their children go to jail or watch their child be lowered into the ground.
Absolutely. It's devastating. That's the hardest thing for anyone to digest, to accept. And I'm sure, you know, for that young man to come forward like that, I'm sure he had a lot of time to think, and if they all could redo it, I guarantee you, they would think before they act. But, you know, sometimes you only have one chance to do the right thing in life. That's how come every time that you do, always think about what the consequence is going to do for that action. Now, is this going to bring me a little bit of thrill without anybody getting hurt or without me hurting anyone and just only hurting myself? But if it comes for you hurting some other people other than yourself, you need to rethink that situation over, because it's not going to be pretty, the outcome. So therefore, do not hurt me. Do not hurt your fellow man. That's what we're all about. We got to, you know, I think we have no respect like we used to of life. We're missing something. It's just we're not clicking. And everybody, you know, our kids sometimes they think they're invisible until really tragedy happens, and then they what if. You know, and a perfect example of that is that young man who comes on and said that he wish he could relive. And I think that's your mentor. You were his mentor, James, and what he could do and what he uses now, his platform, to let these young people know that, hey, look, this is not cool. You got to think. You don't want to wind up someplace where you're going to regret later. And when you come back to society, it might not be as nice and forgiving to you. It's going to be hard to find a job. It's going to be hard to find a place to stay. Hard to, you know what I mean? All your necessities. That's why they say, you have to say freedom is a privilege. Privilege to be free.
Yeah.
Because once you locked up, you lost that privilege.
Yeah. It is so cold and damp in that jail. And then, you know, people just don't know. It is you, and any minute you could lose your life over foolishness. When you mess around and you take somebody's turn in the shower, and or you just the way you look at somebody, and if they think you're weak, you know, you always got to be trying to prove yourself. And so it is just a horrible place for people to go. But some people have to go there because some people have to pay a price for the way they behave in this environment and freedom. And so, Regina, it's just, you know, though it's heartbreaking to send these 16-year-olds, 16-year-olds, and 17-year-olds to jail, they have to be made an example of. I know some people don't want to say, why, you know, it's not cool to make an example to young people, but there are other young people out there watching who may do the same thing. And so we have to make them fearful. You know, my mom took me to the brand new jailhouse and showed me around because she wanted me fearful of going to jail. And I thank her for that. I really do embrace that and understand that jail is no place for a human being. Regina?
Hi. Okay. I didn't know. Okay. Well, you're right. Something that has been weighing heavily on my mind, and I told you all about it, about the man who comes to the door to pick up his child from the door. And I was moved from the front door of doing duty to this side door where the parents walk up because the parents were so aggressive. And my principal says, I just have a way of soothing folks. Well, this guy has been weighing heavily on my mind because he was very aggressive with the teachers, and he walked up close on them, and he didn't understand that he has now become a suspect, a focal point, to the point that the police officer, our sheriff, stands on the side and watches just for him. So he's now a suspect, and I need to take him to the side and let him and talk to him and let him know that his actions will end up with him going to jail. All he
Amen.
Has to do is make one wrong move towards a state employee, and he will go to jail. And I'm going to pull him on the side and talk to him. I'm going to say, brother, let me share this with you. You got to do better.
Heads up. Exactly. I would, Regina.
Let me give you heads up. I'm going to play a joint song.
Right.
Let me give you some heads up. You don't have to worry about me because I'm not afraid of you.
Mm-hmm.
Around here, and you will go to jail. I don't want to hear, ain't
yeah.
nobody going to do nothing to me. Yes, they will.
Yeah. You let them know that they're waiting, you see.
They are waiting.
And sometimes people need that.
This is a black man. This is a black man. Black man who is going to jail for acting foolish.
Yeah.
He has no reason. Nobody's bothering his child. He said all those folk did was ask for his ID. That is it. But I guarantee
there were issues
earlier in life in school.
Oh, yeah. And you need to tell him this, Regina. They know what makes you tick. Just tell him that. They know what makes you tick. Don't ever let them read you and they know what makes you tick. Do not let them take you there, brother. I'm just looking out for you. Heads up, brother.
And you know, thing about it, James and Joyce, that was interesting to me today, in my opinion, he was respectful to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the Caucasian officer said, "Oh, but I saw him roll his eyes afterwards. Oh, I watched
you
that."
Did. You didn't. There you go. You didn't.
But he did.
You give him.
He was very respectful to me.
Right. And you give him the benefit of the doubt.
They're watching him.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's what they do. And once they find out what you tick, they're going to get under your skin. Oh, yeah, because they want to see a reaction. And you let them know, don't give them that. Don't give them what they want.
And I'm going to
let
them know.
Now, that.
There will be some days when I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be there to protect, to defend your honor.
That's right.
Or to soak
it in. Yeah.
To take in all of your anger and all of this. I'm not going to be there. Next week, I'll be out 2 days.
And you tell him that he needs to use what they call reverse psychology.
And how devastating that is for his child to see him get arrested on campus in front of all his peers. And so, you know, you just can't go on people's campus acting crazy like that anymore. You really have to be in control of yourself as adults and as young people because, like Joyce said, you can't get these people an excuse because they're going to take advantage of
it. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And
they're waiting to see him react. They want him to. And
this
you need to let him know.
On my heart.
Please talk to him, Regina. And you just let him know, brother, I'm coming to you because I care about you, and I care about your child. Let him know that. I care about your child. I think it's too much of your child and you to show you what's going on. I want to give you a heads up. You break it down to him in the right way, he'll get the picture. He'll get the picture and tell him what you need to do.
I pray.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pray.
Well, we're going to take this last break.
Yeah.
We're going to take this last break, and we'll come back and get everybody's final thoughts for this evening.
Father, help your children. Let them fall by the side of the road and teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their hearts. He won't let you down, and I know he lies forever in my heart. We've got to walk on. Walk on through temptation, 'cause His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts. The Jesus is love.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thought, Love, and Reflections, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Carol, what is your final thought for this evening?
very, very, very good information, and something that we can bring back and talk about with our young people, you know, whether it's our grandchildren, our children, or the children that we know today. And just like somebody mentioned, and I said myself, you know, we can repeat the same thing, get the same message, but say it in different ways until they actually get it. Very, very good information this evening.
All right. And Joyce, your final thought for this evening?
I would like to just piggyback on what Cheryl had indicated. Plus, I would like to say that every opportunity that we have, we just need to use that as an opportunity to coach and teach our kids. A lot of times they be learning and they have no idea that they're getting the message of what we're trying to get across to them in a way. We have to be sophisticated now as to how we teach our kids, because they got the street sense and they got somebody has their attention in the street. So we need to bring them back to who they are when they come into our homes. We need to let them know how much we care, what we think about them, and we need to just to teach them what is right and what is wrong. Thank you.
All right. And Regina, your final thought for this evening.
I just want you guys to know how much you all encourage me. I know you all aren't in the schools, but your spirits are there. Each time I encounter a child that needs encouragement, that needs a little steering in the right direction, or if I'm in my own home encouraging my child, my daughter, not a child, but I appreciate you all. Thank you so, so much.
We love you.
And I just want to tell you, I continue to enjoy and appreciate all of your support. I thank all of those of you who are out there listening and who continue to listen. And I want you listeners to become callers, too. So if you have the time to call in and give your opinion, your voice needs to be heard and loud and clear, just like the rest of us, because we need to know what you're thinking. Every one of my callers brings something different to the table, and they let us think about things in a different way. So we need all of the listeners to be willing to call in from time to time. Remember, the show is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So we're here 7 days a week, and we want your voice to be heard loud and clear without interruption. Take care, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow on Thoughts, Love, and Reflections.
Loving you is easy because you're beautiful. Making love with you is all I wanna do. Loving you is more than just a dream come true. And everything that I do is out.